Last Sunday, in my sermon called The Mind, the Battleground, I spoke of how the brain, or the mind, is one of the most incredible creations in God's universe. I said that the mind is so complex that I can't even begin to comprehend its own complexity, and that we're all blessed to have this fabulous living supercomputer with unfathomable circuitry and unimaginable complexity. Well, interestingly, I saw a news report a couple of years ago that backed this up. Listen to this. A 25-year-old woman who has spoken out about her rare condition that allows her to remember virtually every single detail of her life and recite all the Harry Potter books word for word. Rebecca Sharrock, who lives in Brisbane, is one of just 80 people worldwide who have been identified as having HSA, highly superior autobiographical memory, also known as hyperthermesia, something like that. The condition means Rebecca can recall minor and irrelevant events as if they happened just moments ago. Rebecca, who remembers almost every dream she has ever had and every birthday apart from the day she was born, relives events so vividly that she can actually feel pain when remembering a childhood injury. She said, "I remember my mum, Janet, placing me in the driver's seat of the car and taking a picture of me when I was 12 days old." Rebecca said, "That's my earliest memory, 12 days old. I remember every day since then. Some of them I can date exactly, because some of them I can't date exactly because I was too young to understand calendars. But I remember what I did that day, what the weather was like, and so on." But for Rebecca, her vivid memories often become a reality. "When I relive memories, the emotions come back. So if it's something from when I was younger, it's like my mind is an adult, but my emotions are the age that I was then," Rebecca said. "I also re-experience pain. For example, I remember falling over when I was 3 at my grandparents' house and grazing my left knee. Talking about it now, I'm getting an echo of the sting in my left kneecap. Believe it or not, at school, it was a hindrance for Rebecca because she wasn't quick at processing the memories. So there was always so much going through her mind which got in the way of her learning. At night, she sleeps with a soft light and a radio on because if it's too dark or quiet, her mind just buzzes away with all the memories and she can't sleep. Birthdays and Christmases are always really exciting for Rebecca because she relives every one she's ever had. Sometimes the excitement can be a little overwhelming though. Rebecca wasn't aware she had HSAM until 2011, after a mother, Janet Barnes, was watching an episode of 60 Minutes that showed HSAM patients recalling their memories as part of a Californian study. "I just knew for sure that that was what Becky has too. She relives her memories so vividly that sometimes she'll answer a question I haven't just asked because she's thinking about a conversation we had years previously. Becky had been diagnosed with autism, surprise, surprise, an obsessive compulsive disorder as a teenager. So we thought her memory might be something to do with that," Mrs. Barnes said. Rebecca and her mother got in touch with researchers at the University of California, and after passing a screening test, Rebecca was accepted into the study. Before Rebecca, the majority of study participants were age 40 and over, so she has proved to be helpful in understanding the condition in younger people. Finding out about HSAM has been such a positive experience for Becky. Knowing she has this special ability has lifted her self-esteem. How about that for a memory? You wouldn't want to argue about the past with her, would you? Some of you fellas might think your wives remember your faults all too well, but imagine being married to someone like Rebecca. Ooh la la. No, I definitely remember on Saturday, October the 17th at 2:20 p.m., you said that you were going to buy me a ring. I don't know about you, but for me, this news item shows just how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. We've probably all got that potential, all of us. God has done a very, very good job. The Bible tells us that he even thought so himself. Genesis 1 verse 31 said, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, I think very good in God's terms is absolutely phenomenal, remarkable, unbelievable in ours, don't you reckon? His standards are just a wee bit higher than ours. God has done an awesome job with creation. And if he has created something as marvelous and complex as our brains, who on earth is he? Who is he? What are his capabilities? What can he do? What does he remember? What does he remember? This invisible, only wise, Ancient of Days God who's seen it all, what does he remember? If Becky Sharrett can remember every day since she was 12 days old and the feelings that went along with every experience, just try and imagine what God, her creator, remembers. For he, God, has the capacity to know and remember every thought of every person who has ever lived since the beginning of time. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of thoughts. The mind boggles. And it is no effort for God to do this. He doesn't sit down and think, now, how did that go? What did she really say? God knows exactly what happened, when, why, who, without being swayed by prejudice. That's pretty cool. When he sees and hears, he really sees and hears as it is. He remembers with absolute truth. Now, this Mrs. Sharrock remembers events of her childhood with the influence of her young, immature emotions. She will see things coloured through her childlike perceptions. But this unseen God sees with absolute clarity. His perceptions are the absolute truth. You know, as a young, immature Christian, I used to be concerned with how God was going to one day judge the whole earth. That's an awfully big responsibility, don't you think? And I was concerned that it may be too big for even him. But Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too difficult for me? I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too difficult for me? Of course not. He's absolutely perfect. He accurately remembers everything that's ever happened, including knowing and remembering the motives of people's hearts. We may witness an important event and give a relatively accurate report on what we saw, but the truth is, we never really can tell the motive of people's hearts involved in the event, can we? We never can. Some of you may remember in in South Africa just a couple of years ago, Oscar Pistorius shot dead his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. Can you remember that? What really happened there? Oscar knows, Reeva Steenkamp knew, but more importantly, God knows. God saw it for what it really was. And if justice has not been correctly carried out here on earth, boy, is Oscar going to get his. Better that people get their punishment here on earth than before God in eternity, because he really, really knows what's happened. God sees and knows it all. He can handle the process of judgment very, very well. I read these scriptures to you just a couple of weeks ago. Revelation 2 verse 23 says, I am he who searches the minds and hearts. Ezekiel 11 verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, I know the things that come into your mind. Hebrew 4 verse 13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The truth is, only God knows and remembers accurately the true story of anything that has happened, and it is to him we all one day will give an account. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a light to our path. And Father, this morning, we want our path to be well lit. Help us to acknowledge and act upon the words of life that you have today. Amen. Who here has heard of the phrase, God's sea of forgetfulness? Put up your hand. God's sea of forgetfulness. I've heard my dad use this phrase numerous times. And every time he says it in a particular way. His eyes look off into the distance and his voice becomes melodious, as if there's a sense of relief and gratefulness, as if Dad's relying on that ocean for his eternal peace. God's sea of forgetfulness. The word sea implies a vast volume of water. A volume of water so deep that you can't physically swim down to the bottom, and so wide that you can't physically swim the length or breadth of. It's vast. The sea is so vast that things get lost very easily. Little things and big things get lost in the sea. We know this because the sea has swallowed great tanker ships, airplanes, and all manner of treasures which will never be seen again despite very expensive sea searches. Even today, with our capabilities, with our high-tech sea searches, many things, including people, unfortunately, are lost forever. Irretrievable. Whenever you hear the phrase, lost at sea, you can't help but think, lost and never to be found. It's as good as gone forever. God's sea of forgetfulness. God's sea of forgetfulness. The truth is, the phrase God's sea of forgetfulness is not actually in Scripture, word for word. But when people mention the term God's sea of forgetfulness, they are usually referring to several passages that talk about God's forgiveness and how when we are justified in Christ, God forgets our sins completely, that they might as well be buried at the bottom of the ocean. The main passage that contains the idea of a sea of forgetfulness is Micah 7, verse 19. It says this, he shall again have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our wickedness. Yes, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Yes, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Psalm 103 verse 12 expresses the same thought in yet another way. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 43 verse 25 says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. That's pretty cool. God says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. That's interesting how God says it's for my sake I have to blot your sins out. I think we get a pretty good deal from it, don't you? But it's for God's sake he does it, because if he doesn't, he won't be able to look at us. Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The beautiful term, God's sea of forgetfulness, represents a place where our sins are sent so very far away from us so that they are no longer affect our relationship with God or our eternal destiny. Some biblical scholars don't believe that our sins are completely erased from God's mind. They say it can't possibly happen. But to be blunt with you, why not? Why can't our sins be erased from God's mind? After all, he said, nothing is too difficult for him. And he said, I will remember their sins no more. Remember them no more means forget them completely as far as I'm concerned. I'm very blessed to have three beautiful adult children of whom I'm proud of as a parent. But these children, believe it or not, weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They did some naughty things. There were times that they broke my rules and crossed my boundaries. But to be honest with you, I can't remember 98% of their naughty behaviour. I chose to forget it, apart from the funny stuff. That's worth recalling for a laugh or two. As a parent, you could have a lousy day with your kids, but late at night, when they're fast asleep, and you go into their room to tuck them in one last time, and you look at their beautiful sleeping little faces, it's hard to recall any sin, no matter how bad, because you love them. I do believe it's impossible for God to recall our forgiven sin. For when he looks at us in the light of his salvation, he sees Jesus. And Jesus obliterates the memory of sin for him. Totally obliterates it. I do believe it's impossible for God to recall our forgiven sin. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our sins from us. And how far is the east from the west? Riley, Billy. How far is the east from the west? Or east from the... Pardon? Come up here. Say that very, very loudly.
Forever?
Yeah. Is he right?
Yes.
Give Billy a clap. Forever. Billy, you're a smart kid because you know about Jesus. You know about God. And the wisdom of God is in your heart. We're no longer judged by our sins. Romans 8 verse 1 and it says it. And that fact frees us to live life in a way that pleases God. It doesn't free us to go and sin again. No. His forgiveness and forgetfulness is so great that it frees us to live life in a way that pleases God. And boy, do I want to do that. Do you want to please God? I do. Well, you do, because he forgets all the mess that you've made. He does. Listen to me now. Spiritual growth requires that we recognize the total forgiveness that exists in Jesus Christ and that we rest in that forgiveness. I'm going to say that again. You all want to spiritually grow. Spiritual growth requires that we recognize the total forgiveness that exists in Jesus Christ and that we rest in that forgiveness. Otherwise, our worry becomes an idol in itself and it affects our faith in Him. If we admit that we are sinners and trust in Jesus, He forgives and cleanses us. Our sins are no longer part of the equation and will not be remembered. And He will not dictate to us. Hallelujah. So if He don't remember them, neither should you. If you've been born again, if you've repented, truly repented, clear your conscience. You don't carry the weight of sin. You are no longer under its control. We're going to break bread in a little while, but I think it's really important that you come to terms with the fact that Jesus Christ has truly forgiven you and that you don't go back remembering things that you did wrong a long time ago or even a week or two ago if you've asked for forgiveness. Some people really struggle with receiving God's forgiveness. How could He possibly forgive me? How on earth could He do that? I've done this, I've done that, and God says not only does He forgive, but He forgets. As humans, we find it very hard to forget what other people have done wrong against us, don't we? But God doesn't, but He demands that we forget too and walk in Him. Don't let your past sins become an idol where you keep thinking about them over and over and over again. Every day is a new day in Jesus. Every single day. That's why we can get up and say, this is going to be the best day of my life. Because every day is a new day. Every day is a new day to walk in God. So forget about what you've done wrong. Come to Him if you've done something wrong. Ask for His forgiveness. Be genuine. And then forget it. And move on in Him. And live your life according to Him. Sounds simple, but some people find it so hard to do. Forgive yourself as God forgives you. And by the way, forgive others as God forgives you. If you do not forgive others, then God cannot forgive you because you are constantly in unforgiveness, which is a sin. You're constantly doing it. You have to forgive others in order for God to be able to forgive you. Because when you forgive others, you are in repentance. Repentance must happen in order for God to forgive you. What is repentance? Repentance is where you say, God, I've done the wrong thing. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to live how you tell me to live. When you've got to that point, you then move on in Jesus. Amen? So this morning, we're going to take communion. We're going to focus on the forgiveness of Jesus. We're going to focus on the forgiveness of others, and we're going to focus on the forgiveness of ourselves. If we don't forgive others and we don't forgive ourselves, then Satan has a stronghold. Let's do all of it. Have a look at your heart. Judge yourself. Not whoever's sitting next to you and think, oh, this is a good sermon for such and such a person. They really need this one. No, before we take communion, the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11 tells us to judge ourselves and make sure everything has been put right. Because if it hasn't, as you drink the cup, you are drinking God's judgment on yourself because He knows you haven't put it right. So communion is a very serious time where we don't just take it flippantly or glibly. We take the communion and say, God, if there's anything I haven't dealt with, Lord, help me to deal with it now. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I want to tell you I love you and I want to live my life according to you and your word. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you will forget my sins. Help me too. And Lord, I pray for the unforgiveness in my heart. If there's anything there that I'm not really locating right now, help me to locate it and help me to deal with it. Help me to forgive, I pray, in your precious name. And then you take communion. Communion serves many points, many things. We remember Jesus, but we also check ourselves. Judge yourself before God judges you. And God helps you judge yourself because the Holy Spirit is in us and He pinpoints things, doesn't He, all the time. And yeah, okay, I'll put that right. Yes, I've had a bad attitude. I'm sorry. I'll deal with that. The Holy Spirit will tell you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Other people might too, that's okay, but the Holy Spirit speaks to you because He's in you. So this morning, as we take communion, let's take it with serious hearts. Let's not be glib. Let's take it with serious hearts and say, thank you, Jesus, that you are making me aware of everything that I need to know in order to walk right with you, God. Let us actually remain seated. I'd like the band to come on up. Could we have the communion distributed to everyone? The band is going to play that song that we've already sung. It's a beautiful song, that final song that we sung in the section there. And as we sing it, I really want you to keep in an attitude of prayer. And I want you to focus on your heart today. You'll have to keep your eyes open until you've got your communion. I want you to focus on your own heart and say, Lord, help me right now. Help me to judge myself correctly so that I can forgive others and forgive myself and ask for your forgiveness, Jesus. Okay, it's coming around now. And once you've got your communion, would you please stand?